Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome back to Midnight Grappler Animals, home of Flub Nation. It's another off-season episode. Can you believe it? Neither can I. I'm your host, Lan, and with me I've got two gentlemen with some very hot, spicy takes for this. It's technically not going to be the last off-season episode. It may be. Actually, I don't know, because I don't know how I'm doing the ordering of these things anyways. But it is the last topic that we have to actually cover. Today, Salt and Keegan are here to give their hot takes on legacy superheroes. So, gentlemen, how are you doing today? What are we doing here? What do we want to just jump right into it? Salt, you were like gassing up how hot your hot take was going to be.
Yeah.
You like almost got there until we like told you to wait.
Yeah,
we
derailed me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. My take isn't going to be as good as when Keegan called Miles an otter.
No, you called it all jumbled up in my head.
I called Craig an otter. Craig's an otter.
Craig is literally an otter, yeah.
Craig's listening to us right now.
He's an otter. If you're completely confused about what's going on here, just go listen to the B-side of all the off-season episodes that I'm sure will hopefully be out by the time this episode comes out.
Patreon.com/MidnightGrapplerAnimals. Patreon.com/MidnightGrapplerAnimals.
Gotta say it twice.
Also, layer that in at like a minus 12 decibel level throughout the episode.
Harmonize it.
Yeah. All right, legacy superheroes. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse, legacy superheroes have a problem of putting the legacy superhero itself into a constant state of now, which reduces the previous iteration of the legacy superhero into nothing. Does that make sense?
What do you mean by the previous iteration? Do you mean like, so this happens only if there's like a third iteration of a thing?
Yeah, you would have to have at least like another legacy character. So like if we use Spider-Man, okay, for example, the arguably the first legacy Spider-Man is Ben Reilly, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Probably. So then when you have Miles, it then shunts Ben Reilly off to the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can use that example for a lot of the legacy superheroes.
For sure. No, I think I think that's immediately correct. I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Yeah.
I think that's just right.
Kind of disappointed by it. I'm kind of disappointed. I was expecting like all legacy superheroes should be shot dead by a fire squad.
Put them in education camps.
Oh no, RFK.
I was expecting Salt to be like, if it were up to me, Miles Morales wouldn't exist.
I could never beat Glenn Beck's take when they first introduced Miles, and Glenn Beck said, what is he, half black, half Puerto Rican, half gay? That was perfect.
What is he, some kind of otter?
Oh, what is he? Some kind of Suicide Squad?
Oh, damn. No, dude, that's Superman. Okay, that's Superman is the Suicide Squad. Get it right.
All
right.
So let's see. Who's got a... What are your favorite legacy superheroes?
So, I think legacy superheroes, like, there's two different kinds.
Oh,
there's,
we need to define this.
No. So,
I mean,
no, one
we
of,
got
we could. I don't know. Like, one of my things about legacies, though, is, like, they're just, there's like, I feel like the ones people talk about the most are things like Green Lantern, right? Or or at least successful ones like Green Lantern or Flash are probably the two that people will talk about as successful ones. And then, like, I don't know, unsuccessful ones.
Well, Miss Marvel's a good one. I would say that Miss Marvel and Miles Morales are two of, if not the only, truly successful legacy superhero characters of the past decade and some.
Yeah.
Unless there's a third one that you can think of.
I mean, any Robin. Robin's a good one.
Damian. Damian is 20 years old now.
Yeah. It's weird that they haven't made a new Robin.
They had to have tried at least a few times. Duke.
They did that We Are
Duke.
Robin thing.
Right.
Duke was never Robin, though.
Yeah, but they did try to make
Duke
a thing.
Okay, Duke's the
signal. Yeah, but they did try to make Duke a thing,
Batman.
You know?
Yeah. But, like, that's kind of how Legacy has happened with Batman, is they've started creating new characters. I mean, well, stupid, I Am Batman, right? That's another Batman. But, Batwing was New 52 stuff, and, I mean, he wasn't new, but whatever. Like, I don't know.
No, I see what you're saying, Keegan. Like, with Batman, it almost, like... it's like going through a prism, right? Like, it's no longer this chain link thing, but it kind of deviates outward in all directions.
Yeah, but I still think Robin, at least historically, like, maybe not, you're right in the last 20 years, but, like, Robin is probably one of the stronger legacy, like, examples.
So what they did for Robin, though, is you have Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing, and then
Tim
graduation Drake becomes... Thing, yeah. Long John Silver's, I mean, Red Robin. And then, so, like, by giving him their own titles, like, they get a little bit rescued from that obscurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I think it is, like, it cemented itself as a title to be grown out of.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very interesting thing for a legacy superhero title to be.
Yeah.
Where it's like, temporary. You can't imagine. Yeah, exactly. It's temporary. It's like a stepping stone towards something else. Granted, whether that's Batman or, you know, some other hero title that might possibly get forgotten when they reboot this for the goddamn 50th time.
When Tim Drake is back to being Robin again.
When he's back to being, and when he's Drake, remember when he's just Drake?
That's so stupid. stupid. What an awful character.
So when Damian graduates, the assumption is that someone else is going to take the mantle again, right? Like, there is going to be a new person. Or maybe Tim Drake just comes back again.
Yeah, again.
Damian graduates.
He is Robin.
Is he?
Again.
Is he Robin now?
Yeah. Chip has him Robin again. Or somebody.
Oh,
I don't even think it was Chip. I think it happened before Zdarsky. Okay. You know, here's a thing that people have very strong opinions on legacy characters. Shared legacy. Like, does it work? I mean, Spider-Man is a good example, right? Miles Morales doesn't have a different code name. He is just Spider-Man. Can there be multiple Robins? Green Lanterns obviously make it work because they're cops. Can there be multiple Flashes?
The Flash was the case where that worked the least. Like, those were all very clear examples where it worked, and it got so weird and confusing with the Flash.
Well, with the Flash also, it was a whole thing of, like, oh, I'm taking over the name while Barry Allen's, I don't know, stuck in the Speed Force or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So then when it got to the point where Geoff Johns was like, actually, I want to bring Barry Allen back because I really like Barry Allen. I don't know if that's actually how Geoff Johns sounds. Who cares?
It's actually exactly how he talks.
Perfect.
I think that's pretty
got it in one. On. Once again.
I have a citation. Yeah, you're good.
So when that happens, you're stuck with a problem of like, okay, you've had Wally West, who's been the Flash for, I think at that point it was like 20 years, right? But now Barry Allen's back. So what do we do? What are we going to do with Wally? What's going to happen to Wally's legacy too? Because then you have an entire generation of people that grew up on that specific Flash. Just as there's an entire generation of people that grew up on one specific Robin, right? What do you do when you have to like pass off or share the mantle? And I don't think comics has really, or superhero comics at the big two level have really figured that out yet. Aside from like, you know, adding a subtitle or a subheading to the title of the comic. Like now it's Laura Kinney Wolverine instead of just Wolverine, or Miles Morales Spider-Man, or trying to think of what else.
I think Laura Kinney's a cool spot to jump on though, because like,
yeah.
I can't imagine an X-23 book would sell nearly as well as a Laura Kinney Wolverine book. You know, like there's no strong reason to not just let her be Wolverine as a codename forever at this point.
Yeah, especially when they've reiterated that a lot over the past like 6 years as well, right? Like there was a whole thing in the beginning of the Krakoa era where it's like, oh yes, this is Wolverine. This is like not, we have two Wolverines and it's fine. You know, like you can call yourself the other Wolverine, just as like, and again, that follows downstream of the other Spider-Man, right? Like it's the shared identity thing that works fine. I think for me, the big thing about legacy superheroes is a matter of shelf life. And I mean that in the sense of like superheroes and the overarching arc of their character in the sense of a soap opera, right? Like we talk about all the time how like superheroes are always stuck in their third act. So what do? You introduce a new hero with the same name who can go through that first, who can go through those first two acts again. Yeah. But this time it's okay because it's a new person going through it. So you don't have to worry about that. But at the same time, it leads to the sort of like speed running of a lot of the big beats. Like with Ms. Marvel, for instance, where, you know, we just recently hit a decade on her like existence as a character. But, you know, now we've gone through all the major beats, you know, like all the, been in an event, you've died.
All her family knows who she is. Supporting cast knows who she is.
Knows who she is, right? She also had to do the whole thing where her identity was like restored too, I think, right? Like that was another thing that had to happen.
After Secret Wars, she had it restored or something, didn't she? And then she still ended up telling everybody, but or maybe it happened again. I don't know. I didn't really follow. I didn't keep following it. But
yeah. But you know, that happened within the span of 10 years, whereas like with a character like the original Spider-Man, you know, that would take 30 years, maybe 40 years of comics to really get to that point. So we're at a point now where to try and establish a character's like importance, I guess, we're having them speed run through all the beats just to like reiterate, like, this is a character that we want to keep around. This is a character that is important, guys. We're not
look
just
how good the stories are.
Yeah, you know, like, come on, Spider-Boy is going through his own superior Spider-Man moment. Or whatever. No. Did that happen?
I don't know.
Another thing? I
have no idea. No, it's like young octopus has replaced him. Oh.
It's so fucked up that this is a thing that probably did happen. There's like a non-zero chance of Slot beat me to the punch with this.
The masters
please
of biology octopus has switched minds with him.
This is why you don't need to worry about AI writing, because this is the level that people expect from comics.
Yeah, this is comics right now, right? Like, you can listen, the whole thing with Spider-Boy, it's like, okay.
I would buy David Ayer cover. I still would if I saw it.
It's...
$10.
He sells well too, is the thing. Yeah. Spider-Boy sells well.
Nobody knows why. Everybody's
nobody knows why. I don't know who's reading it.
The guy who's doing this.
I don't know. I do not know any people who are actually reading Spider-Boy. I know people who are complaining about Spider-Boy. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone who's actually reading Spider-Boy. Like, and even at my comic shop, when I go in week after week, you know, I never run into someone that's like actually reading Spider-Boy, you know, like I never meet anyone who has an opinion on Spider-Boy. and yet, you know,
it keeps getting published.
Just like that New Champions book. Is that what the one is that Gleb's doing covers for?
Yes.
I feel bad every time I see him do a cover, because I'm like, this is a really nice cover, but these characters, man.
Yeah.
And that's got its whole can of worms with, like, them being characters that were initially made for, like, variant covers, which were then turned into actual characters and, you know, rights stuff, which...
Well, that's arguably the successor to the Legacy Hero.
The variant cover hero?
Variant cover stuff?
Yeah, and I would lump in all the multiverse stuff, too. Like, I would, in that sense, I would say that the Legacy Hero is... basically a product of the past. Like, not that it won't happen again, but it's not going to continue with that same momentum. Those variant characters and those multiverse characters are like, they take the place of the legacy character.
I think you're right. Like, I think the multiverse in general, not just in comics, you know, like, we're seeing it in movies, we're seeing it I guess even in video games, wink wink, nudge nudge, where that is like the new mode of storytelling, where it's like, okay, this character that everyone knows has reached their third act. Nothing we can really do with them at this point. Let's bring in the alternate version of this character who will now be the, who will now run alongside this already existing character. But, you know, we can do more interesting stuff because no one really knows what's different about this variant character.
Well, what's funny is arguably the first legacy hero is both. Like, Barry Allen is both a legacy hero and a multiversal hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny when you put it like that, though, right? Like, because it's like, that was also at a time where they didn't really know what a multiverse was within the scope of comics, where it's like, this is just a different continuity. You know, let's do a comic where we're melding these two continuities together, and that's like a crazy thing, you know? And that is obviously like the small domino to things like Final Crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earths, which I guess then does lead into Final Crisis. So really, it is all just Barry Allen's fault. I hate The Flash, actually. You know, that's my conclusion to this entire episode, if we can end this early, is The Flash sucks. Awful track record for a comic.
No need.
No need to write Flash comics. We're done. We're like, why are we doing Flash comics in 2020?
Barry Allen. All my homies hate Barry Allen.
Barry Allen. I hate Barry Allen so much. That guy. Doesn't matter what universe, that motherfucker sucks.
We had a glimmer of hope with Wally West, and then they took him out back and it took a shovel to him.
Wally West will be blessed by the light of Allah when he dies and goes to heaven.
And Barry Allen, forever, so that Barry Allen can just continue to maintain the Flash sucking forever and no hope for it.
Barry Allen is an agent of Shaitan. that's my concluding note. We're only like 20 minutes into this episode. There we go. My concluding thoughts. Barry Allen, you fucking false prophet.
He tried so hard. He tried to run fast.
Maybe if we run to faster, you know, we run faster when we run together, guys. All right. All right. Go fuck yourself, buddy.
So true.
Why don't you run fast and come suck my nuts, man? Holy Barry Allen.
He could have shoveled that snow way faster than you, though, Lan.
He would have, and he didn't. So, you know.
He didn't hear your pleas.
Yeah, you know. Superman. That's a character that people.
Sweetie, we love him. We love Superman.
No, hold on. Yeah, Flash, that's in the past now. Superman is a character who I think is probably the best locus for a lot of discussions relating to legacy superheroes in the past decade, especially, you know, with John Kent, right? And the whole rigmarole, I guess, there. Because like that...
Oh, the man of woke?
The man of, yeah, yeah exactly. The man of queer.
The man, oh, that's better. Damn.
The man of steal your boyfriend.
He can.
I haven't
can,
read anything with that character. I don't know.
He can
anything.
Bounce on 10 inch cocks with one leap.
Whoa. Good for him. That's impressive.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
correct me. Wasn't there a different John Kent and not the dad? Like, wasn't there another John Kent before this John Kent?
Like J O H N or
no? He was. I swear to God, there was like a Kryptonian who changed his name to John Kent.
Oh, you're thinking about Mon-El, right?
No, nope, different guy.
Different guy. Other John.
He
Kents.
Was Nightwing, but the Kryptonian.
Oh,
Nightwing.
that one. Yes, yes, yes. The. Yeah.
His name
was
John.
Yeah, yeah. His name was John. He was like the adopted child of
yes.
Superman. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that.
Sorry, I'm being distracting. What did you want to say
it's
about
okay.
The,
I've also,
the newer, better, gayer John Kent?
The gayer John Kent. Because I think there was a point where DC did want to actually like push him as being, you know, a viable Superman.
I think that was, well, not, I mean, not, he was, it was a Superman book, right? He wasn't right. Superboy. But I think the 5G stuff would have made him
yeah.
Superman.
Oh, I man, think. 5G. That's a whole other side
that's
to this thing,
very
right?
Legacy.
Like, all this.
Yeah.
That is like the whole thing there is legacy.
It was legacy. Yeah. They were trying to move forward for 1 or 2 years, probably, maybe 18 months.
Yeah.
And they would have regretted it.
You know, the future state stuff, too, right? Like, where the whole thing there was like everyone's. Been pushed aside. Here are your new legacy Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, our new woke Wonder Woman, who has no problematic associations. Shout outs, Guy.
She's not from Idaho. She's
not from Idaho.
Are you
she's
talking about the Brazilian from... one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is she in any comics now? Like is she around?
She shows up in King's Wonder Woman is my understanding. She's not like a main character, but she has appeared multiple times.
It kind of feels like a lot of those characters vanished, not even when the Absolute Line debuted, but when the Absolute Line was announced.
I mean,
like we don't have
Yara Flora,
room for all this excess.
She's been gone for a while though. She
yeah.
That was just a I don't even know. That
some would say shortly after Guy put out yeah. that essay. But, you know, you can't say conclusively.
On the way back to yeah. Brazil.
Yeah, on the way back to her home island.
In Idaho.
Yeah, you know, that's another weird aspect of legacy superheroes in Big Two Comics, where it's like, when there is a new legacy superhero and... Or, you know, like a variant in this case. And the old one is just old Yellard in a way. Right? Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's what
basically,
happened to Jay Garrick originally.
You know, I'm, yeah, yeah. Like, that's what happened to a lot of those, like, golden age superheroes mm-hmm. that, you know, ended up getting much fancier, cooler, like Dan Abnett, or not Dan Abnett, that's a writer. What the fuck is the first Blue Beetle's name again?
Oh, God.
Dan.
It is
oh,
Dan.
Oh, God.
It is Dan, right? Like, it's Dan.
It is Dan.
Dan Danner. Dan.
No, that Dan Daniel? No.
Dan Beetle.
Dan, Blue Beetle, Dan.
No. Nord.
No, that's Ted Kord.
That's Ted
You're
Kord.
Thinking
no,
the second Blue Beetle.
That's the second Blue Beetle?
That's the second Blue Beetle. Dan Garrett. It's Dan Ooh. Garrett.
What the hell?
I was close. I said Dan Abnett. This is Dan Garrett. See, this is what I mean. No one thinks about Dan Garrett except Jeff Nobody. Johns.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns is the only one who gives a shit about Dan Garrett.
Yeah, right. Grant Morrison probably cares about.
Probably too, yeah. You're right.
And
you're right.
Al Ewing also probably cares about.
I don't think Grant Morrison does. I think Grant Morrison like reads Wikipedia articles and just
Yeah, well, you know, what comic writer in the modern day doesn't, right?
It's true. Hey, they're all copying them.
They're all copying them.
Standard.
But yeah, it is funny when you have a legacy superhero that is just given up on when the new shiny thing comes around. Like, for me, I think the one that I keep thinking about in the context of Superman specifically is Kanan Kong, you know, the Chinese Superman.
Oh, I love him. I wish they had done more with him.
I'm sure he's in books, right? Like, Keegan, yeah, you're actually reading Superman comics.
I'm reading Superman. He mostly shows up in action if he shows up, yeah, because that's kind of a Superman family book at this point. It depends on who's writing it. It's like Brand New Day for Spider-Man right now, but it's not a team. Sure. They're just kind of getting random people in there.
But see, that's the other place they go to, like in the case of Spider-Man, right? Like Anya Corazon. Right, like she just gets relegated to like showing up whenever there's a spider event happening.
Yeah,
or Julia Carpenter.
Oh yeah, I don't even. I'm pretty sure it was Anya who was in. There's that arc that Kelly Sue DeConnick did of Avengers Assemble, really fun arc, and then she didn't show up for like 4 years after that at all.
Yeah,
well, there is a trick to these legacy heroes of you want them to feel like they belong in that universe. But they also need to have an origin or a way you can describe them that makes sense and you don't sound insane. Like, Miles Morales, you can make whatever criticisms you want, but he's easy to describe. Like, hey, he's a half-black, half-Puerto Rican, half-gay. No, nobody. He's half-black, half-Puerto Rican kid who also got bit by a spider, right? And now he is also Spider-Man. But if I describe John Kent, I would sound like a crazy person.
Wait, which John Kent?
The
bisexual
one?
He's just Superman's gay son or queer son, whatever.
Queer son.
That's pretty easy.
But like, I don't think DC has done a really bad job like making Superman's identity make sense to people. Like, I think if you asked a lot of random people, like, hey, what's Superman's deal with Lois? Like, some people would think they're married. Some people would think they're dating. Some people would think that Superman still hasn't told her his identity. So now you have to explain, like, oh, his identity, he has told Lois.
They're married. They have a son.
I mean, yeah. Like, and if you get into the real weeds of that, and you're like, "Oh, actually, so the current Superman, he's a refugee from like a previous dead universe that ended up somehow." I don't even really know, but like,
it's horrible. Like, you've lost people. You can't explain John Kent in a way that makes sense.
But like, that's if you go full Wikipedia brain. Like, if I just walked up, like, and I do think you're right in being like, if you walked up to a 24 to 30 year old and we're like, hey, do you know if Superman's married to Lois Lane, or like, what's Superman's deal? Like, most of them would probably mention Lois Lane, and most of them would probably be like, I'm not sure if they're married or not. Like, in my brain, they probably are. And I think that that's a weird thing that like is caused that, one, nobody's reading comics anymore at all, and two, there hasn't been like a popular Superman adaptation in 30 years. You know, like, the animated series was probably the last time there was something that anybody cared about.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I feel like that's part of
it. You have another problem with the John Kent Superman, which is Miles Morales was a regular kid that got bit by a spider. I don't know how you explain that John Kent is like, what, 20 years old and he's super powered? Like, there's a lot of complications there
that we need to focus on first is the 20-year-old part. Right. Well, see. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's exactly like Gohan. You're right.
Yeah. Like, it's so much easier when you just say like, "Oh yes, Gohan. He was in a hyperbolic time chamber for a year or five."
Yeah, basically. Right. Yeah. Like, that is the explanation. Yeah.
Really, Superman gets a lot easier when you start explaining in Goku terms.
Yeah, and people
this is
understand
Dragon
Goku
Ball
terms.
Z is the superior media.
This is what DC needs to do. They need to rebrand Superman as Goku.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They have. You know, that's what Scott Snyder's whole thing in Justice League was, right? Like, with the you know, him replicating the father-son Kamehameha. That was Justice League, right?
Yeah, but
Jorge Jimenez.
I think that was. I mean, yeah, That was very much a partnership choice, though.
Like, I mean, I'm sure it was, but at the same time, it's like, well, there you go. Much.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, the same but it's result. Okay. You know, Jimenez is at least getting to work on Naruto now. Meanwhile, so Snyder weird. Is still rehashing anime plot lines in Absolute Batman. So, I think in terms of like where that partnership is at now, Jimenez definitely got the better side of the deal.
He also had to draw Batman for Starsky. Got to, you know, yeah, whatever.
I don't know. Had to, maybe.
I'll get around. I'll read it eventually.
Yeah, I won't read it, but I'll have opinions, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's go.
2025, we're normalizing. Actually, it's already normal. What is there to normalize? Not reading comics and talking about them as though you've read them? Yeah, man, the thing that's...
That's a core tenet of anti-reading, so...
Yeah. What? You want me to do the thing that every average Twitter comics fan has done for like the past decade or two? I made a face.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, they do. Why. They want you to do that.
Yeah. Listen to the voices.
Listen to the voices. No, I don't think I will. Not this time.
Well, if we return to Miles for a second, like he is a pretty compelling thought experiment. Like Miles. Regardless if you like him or not, he is one of the most successful legacy superheroes in terms of recognition by like the comics reading public and the non-comics reading public.
Well, that's because he's also got like many successful adaptations too. Like he's been in multiple TV shows now. He's got one of the most popular Spider-Man movies of all time. Two of the most popular Spider-Man movies of all time. He's been in three video games. Maybe four. I don't know. But you know, in terms of cultural cachet, you know, he is already at that point. Like Miss Marvel too, like Kamala Khan, she's got a movie, a TV series. She was the linchpin of the Marvel Avengers game that like five people played. She has reached outside of comics, which I think is a key element here, where it's like, when you have these characters show up in things that aren't comics, then that's like the brand telling you that like, yeah, this is a character that we want to actually like stick around, right? Like when Ben Reilly shows up in other things, you're like, okay, so this is a character, you know, like this is the canon, if we want to talk in Spider-Man terms, you know? Mm. And I don't know how you get that out of comics nowadays until you technically force it, right? Like when Spider-Boy shows up in the next Spider-Verse movie.
See, I, you know, one of those, one something about that's really interesting though, because like and I don't know, because actually the both the examples I'm thinking of right now are kind of celebrated, but the other direction, people whine about it, right? Comic fans whine about it, where, oh, they debuted in a TV series and then they adapt the other way. Which, again, like now I'm like Harley Quinn, well, that ended up really successful. Renee Montoya ended up real good. Even Batman Beyond, Terry McGinnis. Oh, all three of those are actually like counter examples to what I'm saying. So maybe that's not true. But like they also don't matter as much. Harley Quinn obviously is a huge hit, but Renee Montoya literally just doesn't matter what DC's doing with her in the comics most of the time, right?
Like, I think that also stems with like general complaints about synergy whenever like something in the movies and shows ends up like coming back into the comics. And I think that's much more prevalent now, especially as like we're reaching this like, I don't want to say like end of comics history type beat, but like... You know, it really is getting to that point where, you know, we've got a Doom event in the comics right now because Doomsday is coming out next year. Or, what's the other big one where it's like, oh, they're doing that. Oh, right. Miss Marvel becoming a mutant, right? Like to reflect what's happening in the MCU. And that was like literally an edict passed down by Kevin Feige. I think for a long time readers of comics, it makes sense for them to get angry. I'm not saying it's the right thing. Frankly, it's very stupid for them to get angry. But like it's stupid because that is just the mechanics of what comics are nowadays, right? Like the new champions thing, right? Like it's easy to be angry at that, but that is just the way the comics are nowadays. Like we're going to get this. Which of the Steves is writing that one? Fox or Lando?
I have no idea. Genuinely don't.
The Hive Mind?
I didn't even know it was one of the Steves. I have no idea. It might be the Hive Mind.
It's a toss up. It could be any one of those three, right?
But we know the thing is, like, that's
that is just the nature of comics nowadays, right? Like where it's like the legacy characters don't even faze me anymore because it's like, okay, that's just what we're doing now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about too, like you're talking about the interaction between these things and adaptations, and like earlier you were saying, you know, like Miss Marvel, she's basically speed run through like an entire character's history. Mm-hmm. And it's like more efficient, really, right? It's optimized to a degree where it's just like, oh, all bangers. It's where we're cutting out, like, I mean, not the filler, because the filler's fun because it's not actually filler, but like we're cutting out like more boring eras of Spider-Man's history, right? Because like as much as Miss Marvel is a Captain Marvel legacy character, she's very much a Spider-Man. Like that's the template anyway. So I think one of the things is like when you take Spider-Man and you adapt Spider-Man, Peter Parker's story, right? You get to do that. You get to optimize it and make, you know, three movies 2 hours long, and like all three of those movies can be pretty good because you optimized them, right? Mm-hmm. But you've already gone through optimization with Miss Marvel through being a legacy. So like you have less no matter what. And then you adapt that and you have even less because you're going to optimize even more.
Yeah.
And I think there's this weird process too where like Batman, you can improve Batman by taking things from his adaptations and adding them to the comics. It's just true. People have good ideas in movies. They put good ideas into the movies, and those good ideas should get brought back over to the comics. But when you overly optimize through that process, you have less like ways to engage both of them and pull and push things around. So like Into the Spider-Verse, there's nothing there that's actually new. It's just optimized pieces of Spider-Man lore, either given to Miles or like reproduced in some other fashion. And now it's a new thing, and it's really entertaining. It's really well made, but like there's nothing besides multiverse bullshit to really pull over into the comics, which is already there anyway.
Well, I think that's the next logical step, right? Where it's like you do the current iteration of Ultimate Spider-Man, where it's like, okay, we're doing a new thing, but this is also like, we've got the beats. We know what the overarching beats are. Invincible is a legacy superhero.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like if you go through those volumes, you can pinpoint exactly which moments are like, oh, this is the, and I hate using this term, the canon event for Invincible, right? Like the whole, there's even a whole volume called Reboot, right? Yeah. And that's not just Kirkman taking the piss, for as much as he thinks that he's taking the piss. That is just like the logical endpoint for a comic that runs as long as Invincible does to get to.
And one that's doing the superhero stuff that it's doing, you know, like he touches on every era of superhero comics through the end of it, you know?
Right. So I think at this point, what it means to be a legacy superhero is to optimize, is to like become the most optimized version of the superhero soap opera that you can be.
And then like Salt said at the beginning, like legacies are instant or immediately dated, you know, like because they're all about the now. And in order to define it as the now, like I was also thinking of this when he was saying this, like how many legacy superheroes have evergreen stories? Again, I don't really care about evergreen stories. I think people overrate the value of those, but like really a like one and done story that you could give to somebody and be like, this is their story.
I mean,
Wally
adding
West.
To that, actually, you know, like how many of those legacy superheroes' evergreen stories are not just rehashes or reiterations or, you know, optimizations of the original hero's stories, right? Like Miles has his own clone saga, but even then, that's just an optimization of the original clone saga or a reiteration or a reimagining, if you want to call it that, right? Like, when the big moments are also defined by what came before, there is no real now, right? The now is only as good as what came before.
Okay, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bendis Ultimate Spider-Man a legacy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, absolutely. By that definition, right?
Yeah. Did Miles start in the main continuity or in the ultimate continuity?
In the ultimate continuity. But
yeah,
the
so
thing
Miles
is,
himself is like a legacy of a legacy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're willing to count that. But,
right.
You know, Miles has in common with, has a lot in common with the Men of Steel, right? Those, the posers that showed up after Superman died.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of those capitalize on something really useful, which is, hey, you do something major, like kill a character. Like now you put in those legacies. We say, but there's a twist.
But right. Even then that comes from Barry Allen too, right? Because Barry Allen died doing some, I don't even remember what he did in Crisis, but it was his death that, you know, opened the spot for Wally to take over as the new Flash, right? Like,
it seems different because Wally was already around, right?
Well, right, but like Miles was also around too, right? Like even in other continuities, right? Like in the case of Into the Spider-Verse, he's already around when the previous Spider-Man dies in his universe, right? Like
he's a bit like the same night.
Right, but
he's not like,
you know,
being a superhero. Like,
right. But I mean, even in the Spider-Man games, actually, it's even better because it's like, yeah, he's there the entirety of the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's like established to be a legacy. But
right.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I think the death thing, like, you know, that's a good point because again, that like lends to in the moment, that's a way to sell them. And that it's so dated.
It's like there's no other option.
The resurrection happens. Yeah.
Right. It's like you don't want to accept this guy. What's the alternative? The smoking pile of bones in that pit over there?
Yeah. Well, Kyle Rayner is a really good example of all that too, right? Like
where it's like, our hero's evil now, so we need to come up with a new guy who's
evil
good.
And dead, right? Doesn't he also, he kills himself because he's so evil or something?
Well, he killed all the Green Lanterns.
He killed all the Green Lanterns, but he technically wasn't dead
at
around
the
time. He became the Spectre shortly after Kyle became Green Lantern.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was like whole event hell.
Isn't that all Geoff Johns stuff, turning him into the Spectre?
No. Oh, God, was it? No.
I don't know.
Because Johns enters the story when he's converted back to a Green Lantern from the Spectre. The Spectre was, who was it? Friends? Mackie?
I don't remember.
Mars was Rayner, right? So I think it might have been, I don't know, maybe it might have been even Robinson, who knows. Feel free to let us know in the comments below.
If you're yelling at your
if you're driving,
and you're yelling at us for being such complete idiots.
If you're seething at this episode, let us know.
Keep driving, let us know
in the comments below.
Keep driving and get into
the
Discord.
White knuckle that bitch. White knuckle that fucking steering wheel right now.
Go ahead and turn on your speak to text and
call Keegan a hateful word. Call him a slur.
It's okay.
Call him an otter.
Yeah.
Yeah, call him an otter.
It's all the energy of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the conclusion here is that legacy superhero is not really a term that matters anymore. thinking about it and like, you know, having gone through this whole rigmarole, I'm like, I don't know if, you know, because again, these things are just going to happen.
At the end of Burn After Reading.
Yeah. It's the best scene ever. Yeah.
That's really where I'm at right now. You know, that's what? Mentally, I'm there right now. Yeah. Once again, Barry Allen.
Yeah. Forever.
Can you make the picture of this, like, I don't know, like someone flipping Barry Allen off, like something like that, or a gun to Barry Allen's head? I'm sure there's a picture of that.
Yeah. I'll cook for this one. I'll cook for this one. It's gonna be the only off-season episode to actually have like a proper custom thumbnail. It's because of how much I fucking hate Barry Allen.
You could make it the guy you have in the picture now, like the NBA guy, but he's like slapping Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Flying past a broken leg to Barry Allen.
Yeah, you know, or Peter Griffin at the bottom of the stairs. You know, that pose, but for Barry Allen.
You know, we can also blame Barry Allen for making Ezra Miller into a leading they.
Yeah, you know, we need better leading theys. And I think in due time, we can optimize our process enough. It's so easy to turn legacy superhero talk into like KPAs and like business oriented talk. You know, if we optimize our flows here, we can actually manage to churn out a few more of these legacy superheroes year after year. It's the Pacific Rim thing, you know, where it's like before we had a new legacy superhero popping up every 5 years, but now it's a 1 year. In due time, we might even see a legacy superhero pop up every 3 hours or every three issues.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like the end of Pacific Rim, but like we send you through a portal to hell to kill Barry Allen with a nuke.
Yes, let's go.
Under the mandate of heaven, I unleash my fatwa against Barry Allen. Guys, is that the episode?
I think so. I didn't get to talk about Captain America, but Captain America should be a terrorist, and that's the future.
Oh shit, that's right. That's like
Okay, hold on, I need to talk about that. So Keegan said on my Blue Sky that Captain America should fly the planes into the building, into the Twin Towers, and we got the best unhinged reply where this guy goes, "Oh, just call him Captain China."
Yeah. I don't even know what he was really saying.
Yeah, dude, this really happened.
I was like, it was not comprehensible. So I was just like, yeah, man, China should have Captain America too.
That guy's so cool that he thought that China did 9/11.
Like, what the hell was that? I have no idea. I was like, I can't deal with this right now. Like, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
You need to reply more unhinged things like that so you can lure out freaks.
I mean, it's my genuine belief also. I mean, not the plane flag part, whatever. He could be a terrorist in ways I want him to be a terrorist, in heroic, more heroic ways, I guess. But
I got a few ideas for ways he could do that. I'm feeling it. Italian ways, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Lynn likes that one.
Yeah. The neurons really activated when I heard that one.
So that was really funny, though.
That was. I'm going to have to put that in the show notes. Me. God damn it.
That's a good one. That's funny.
Shit, I got to do the whole rigmarole. Where's the script? So this is how prepared we are for this. Heading out of this off season, like we're nearing the end too. We're exiting the off season. We still don't really have a proper idea of what's coming after. So stay tuned, folks. This might be the third to last off season episode that's released.
More to come.
Yeah, this might not even be the last off-season episode.
Yeah, we don't know.
There could be four more.
There could be no more. There could be one more. There could be two more. We don't know. But
in this life, nothing is certain. Yeah. You know?
Numbers are hard.
Surge isn't here this week, but he might be here next week. I don't know if any of the episodes that we recorded with him have already been released.
The Batman villains one was the last one, right?
Oh, was that the last that one we recorded with him?
But he, I think
oh, Surge
he
is alive. Just for anyone that's curious, Surge is alive.
We don't have to free him. He's free.
He's free. He's been free. Salt, I don't know. Not so much. Yeah, we're still working. Sure.
I got different problems.
Salt got hit by a truck. So
yeah.
Salt got hit by a truck.
I'm still a little sore.
We're working on it, you know. So nothing's certain, but the show will continue until morale and our Patreon subscribership improves. As always, the show is made possible thanks to contributions from listeners like you. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/midnightgrapplerAnimals. If you want to hear this episode earlier than the rest and hear all of those fucks and shits that I clearly have to now bleep, or not even bleep, I just remove them from the episode. Anyways, if you want to hear us say those words, $2 a month gets you those episodes uncensored a week earlier than the public. $5 a month can get you access to that bonus episode that we mentioned at the top of the episode, where Keegan called Craig an otter. Mm-hmm. There was a whole other associated rigmarole with that. As well as our backlog of bonus episodes and Patreon exclusive series, as well as exclusive channels in our Discord server. If you have friends, I'm sure you do. I'm sure people with friends listen to this podcast. Tell your friends about this podcast. Tell them about the absolute crazy stuff that we're getting up to in this off season, and tell them there's more. Just be ominous. Don't even like explain what the more is. Just tell them there will be more.
And then let us know. Is the show too woke? Not woke enough?
Yeah, is this show too woke? Is this show like the Brooklyn Visions Academy missions in Spider-Man 2? Let us know.
You can email us. A little more MGA, a little less BVA, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, a little more MGA, a little less DE. Actually, I can't make that joke anymore. Me, this fucking stupid administration. Questions, comments, suggestions for the show, email us at midnightgrapplerAnimals@gmail.com. Tell us if that joke was in poor taste. And if you want to find the links to our Discord server, we can tell us that much more directly, or our Blue Sky pages, you can find that in the description of this episode. Folks, guys, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Tastemaker's grab bag is what I want to get to. Who wants to go first?
Keegan wants to go first.
I can go first. All right, I'm gonna post a link and text. Oh. I have a few things. One is I'm not even gonna look it up. You can look it up. Whatever. There's a video of Inside the NBA where Shaq.
Oh.
Shaq is talking about you should fill up your gas tank. You should fill up your gas tank when it's half full, and you'll spend less money. And I was thinking about that a lot lately because I got into an argument with someone where I was literally Shaq in that argument. And
okay, so can you give me context for what you just posted, please?
I'm going to tell you after. I'm telling you the Shaq thing
first.
Bro,
you can't so not listen. Up. Listen.
This is a different
listen.
Thing. Two different things. I'll tell you the listen, other thing.
You should have waited to post the link. You should have waited to post the link because now I'm thinking about this link that you posted and
I'm
not Shaq.
Tell you in a second.
So, anyway, Inside the NBA, Shaq, gas filling up. It's so funny. He's the worst arguer in the world, and I am just like him. On Blue Sky this morning, I saw this tweet that screenshotted four screenshots from this article that I just shared with the boys.
And it's horrible.
It's really bad.
I'm gobsmacked.
But it's so funny.
I'm absolutely gobsmacked.
So it's an article.
The first line, hold on, I'm not gonna say the headline. I'm gonna say the first line of this preview. Men
say the
are
shaft
nearly
line.
Dying to enhance their penises.
I'm crying right now. So I saw the screenshots and I was like, this is the funniest.
This is tragic.
It's so stupid though. So it's a New York Post article, or you know, whatever. It's penis enhancement surgeries are leaving some with a lifetime of pain and regret.
So,
what to know? What to know? Don't forget the what to know part.
What to know? So go ahead and read that. And you might feel bad about it after, but you should laugh really hard because it's so funny.
This guy talks like an NPC. This guy, John 42 from Austin, Texas, the desire to augment started 6 years ago.
Is it John Wilson?
He goes, I am like 6'5 and was really athletic and muscular, but I didn't really have the other part to match the enormous size of my body. Who talks like that?
This is like an infomercial.
It could be fake, but it's so funny. It brought me joy. So that... And then,
this hurts.
It's so funny.
I'm reading this. I'm thinking about that episode of How To with John Wilson about the people like regrowing their foreskins or trying to regrow their foreskins. Yeah. Awful.
Dude, this article gets gnarly. This gets worse and worse.
It's really crazy. And then I also started Twin Peaks. And I got to episode 3, and it's
Jesus Christ! How do you go from penis enlargement to Twin Peaks?
It's just my life, dude. All right, it's just what I'm living. So Twin Peaks shouts, watch episode 3. And that's it. That's what I got.
Okay. Salt. How do you want to follow that up?
My jaw is on the floor, dude. This is harrowing. Oh my god! Did you read the whole article?
No. I don't want to. Not yet.
I didn't.
No.
It's a horror movie.
I read half of the article in total, but the screenshots get all the way to the end. I think of what I saw.
Oh, good lord,
god.
Man!
All right.
How do you follow that up?
You asked me to go first. You told me to go first.
I think you just chose to go first.
Okay,
right, break.
Run the tape.
I have two movies. Recommending two movies for you.
No.
If you remember back to the Month of the Mask, Lan and I did, we mentioned how Shotaro Ishinomori directed only one episode of Kamen Rider, but I was delighted to find out he directed one of the Kamen Rider movies. And he's such a good director. Like, the man understands cinema. So my first recommendation is Kamen Rider 8 Riders versus Galaxy King. It's wild. I love it. That's recommendation one. Recommendation two is Wallace and Gromit Vengeance Most Foul for glorious stop motion animation.
That's good. It's a good one. It's a good one, folks.
Lan, what do you got?
Let's see. I'm going to start off with... by this point, it's not even new anymore, but the new Doechii album.
So good.
Because I finally listened to it from start to finish. And it's... You know, if I can describe it... And this isn't really even a judgment on the quality of these respective artists' works, but like listening to that album made me feel the same way I did when I discovered Nicki Minaj for the first time, as when she featured on Monster on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, you know, like with the iconic bad bitch from Sri Lanka line. Mm-hmm. You know, the feeling and the emotion that I got like hearing that for the first time, that was like what it was like listening to this album. It's great, start to finish, banger, 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 banger. It's really, really good. Next up, I'm gonna recommend a mistake that I made, which was watching Magnolia on a plane. I had it was a long plane flight, so I had a lot of time to kill, including 3 hours, which I dedicated to watching Magnolia. Devastating film. I like to think that I have a pretty good relationship with my parents. I watched that movie and I think, damn, just damn. What possessed Paul Thomas Anderson to make Magnolia? You know, like, it's such a I don't even know, man. Like, I made such a mistake watching that on a plane. I couldn't even shed a single tear. It was like 3 in the afternoon. I had to like sit there with both hands on my knees, just like clutching them, you know, with a poker face. So don't make that mistake, but do watch Magnolia if you haven't already. North by Northwest. I also watched that immediately after to like lighten the mood.
That's what a double feature.
But, you know, you're on a plane from Germany to Canada. That is like the ideal, you know, like everyone next to me. There was actually someone in the seat in front of me who was like watching the first 10 minutes of a whole bunch of movies. I think he started with, there was that Angelina Jolie movie about wildfires. He got 10 minutes into that one, skipped it, moved on to the next thing. Then he watched 10 minutes of Transformers 1, got 10 minutes in, skipped it, next thing. And then he finally settled on Get Smart. Watched the whole thing, that's start so to finish. Sick. Didn't stop at even once.
What a hero.
And then there was a German lady in front of me that was watching this this German movie about I forget what the title is, but the premise is that like these friends get together for a dinner. I think it was like a dinner on an eclipse or something, and they play this game where they have to put their phones on the table, like all their phones on the table, and whoever gets a call or a text has to either read the text out loud or answer the call on speakerphone. And it's just like one of those like really schmaltzy, you know, almost Lifetime-ish movies. But, you know, I was kind of enamored by it. I was like, wow, I don't know why I'm so invested in this like borderline reality TV ass movie. So I'm not going to recommend the movie, but you know, if you can find that movie, I don't even know the title. I was only reading the subtitles from like this tiny crack between the seats. Like, if you can imagine, I'm in the aisle seat on the left side of the plane. She is in the window seat of the row right in front of me. There's that like tiny crack between the headrests, right? So I can see her screen through that tiny crack in the headrests. And so the film had English subtitles, so I couldn't hear a single thing that was actually going on in the movie. All I had were the subtitles. My attention was unfortunately very glued to that screen in like the final few hours of that flight.
I think you became a new kind of pervert. I think that's what you just described.
This is it's a perfect opportunity for voyeurism.
Yeah, completely appropriate voyeurism. I guess it's
you know, you're stuck in a seat. You're stuck in a seat for 8 hours. Everything's in plain view, right? Like, it's not like she's trying to hide that she's watching the movie.
Yeah.
So
somebody was watching Magnolia.
Someone was watching me watch Magnolia for sure, and I'm scared that it was like one of the kids from like a few rows back.
Well, if they're tall enough to see through a couple rows, then you're going to learn today, kid.
You are going to learn about generational trauma today, buddy. You made the mistake of looking at my screen. Yeah. You're going to learn. That's it for me. That's it for me. That's it for this episode. You know? So, thanks again for keeping up with the fast times at MGA High. And as always,
keep on grappling.
Oh, we always get it in one.
Got it in
I think we need to stop getting it in one, because like it's going to start affecting our bottom line.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy? So
all this Flash talk made me realize James Gunn and the Reverse Flash actor Tom Cavanaugh are the same guy. It's the same man.
That is pretty crazy. They do look frighteningly similar.
It's like a meme waiting to be born. Oh, all white people don't look the same? Explain this.
Hey, can I copy your homework?
Throw his brother in there too. Throw his brother from Gilmore Girls in there also.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he looks more like the Flash actor than his own brother.
And then throw the Flash in there too then. It's just like they're all connected.
There's layers that